Well, thanks very much for that, Peter. Hi, everybody. My name is Pastor Leash, if you don't know me. And I also love screens. And I love to repeatedly go back to those, favorite TV series and movies and rewatch them, especially at the gym. And one thing that I've learned is that endings are important. In fact, the way things end can be particularly powerful, whether it's the punchline of a joke, the final chapter in that novel you've been reading, or that ending of a film. Endings have this way where they can make or break all that's gone before. They can give new meaning to the story that's preceded. And I think of famous films like The Sixth Sense, and that massive plot twist at the end. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, where have you been? But he's a ghost. But then there are other examples where endings ruin all that has gone before. I actually really love sitcoms. I am a massive fan of Office US. I've watched Friends. I enjoy Seinfeld. I haven't quite got into Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Park and Recreation or The Big Bang Theory. But for 8 seasons, How I Met Your Mother was my go-to. We attended a wedding in Canada a few years ago, and as I was on the plane, I was up all night on that midnight flight watching season 8 and crying my guts out as Robin spoke about the fact that she had miscarried. I was invested. This show had all the hallmarks of going down in history as probably one of the great sitcoms. But its ending has landed it today in what is considered the top 10 endings that ruined a TV series. And I, for one, never got to season 9. I gave up. I was done, and I regretted watching everything that came before. What was the point? Endings are powerful. And I know that we are not only just coming to the end of a series, but we are coming to the end of a year. 2024. We next week launch into its final month, and before we get consumed with what presents we're buying and what dinner we're preparing potentially on Christmas, and you know, how am I going to get through that relationship conflict and manage that well? What am I going to do with my kids when they're not at school? Oh. Before we get to that, perhaps we might consider, what does it mean to finish this year well? What does it look like to end well? And today, I'm taking it on as my job to lead you, hopefully, in ending this year well. We're going to have a look at the final psalm that appears in the Psalter, Psalm 150, which is known as one of the 5 Hallelujah Psalms. And I want to draw out of it today 3 things I observe, 3 things that I note, 3 things that I want to gift to you so that you might end this year well on a note of thanksgiving. The first thing that I note in this psalm is that praising takes preparation. Believe it or not, we are not in a Disney musical. I did not wake up this morning and stretch my arms out and throw my sheets off in magnificent made-up glory and sing with birds tweeting about how wonderfully sunny it is and gosh, I could go to the beach today. It didn't happen. Nor, as packs of pancakes. No, as pancake stacks wafted through the youth area, I didn't, come out in apron and plate and spatula and sing about the joys of pancakes and maple syrup in the morning. It doesn't happen. Praise is not the natural thing that I launch into at any given moment of the day. Perhaps you're different. Or not. No one broke out into song, and no one certainly said, please don't pick on me today. It's not the natural. It actually requires some preparation. And our psalm begins, I believe, with three things that we do to enter into an attitude of praise. That is that we need to reframe, we need to reposition, and we need to reflect. Our psalm begins, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And if we just go through it, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise is born when we remember who God is. When we place him in the place where he belongs, much like if the painting of the Mona Lisa was situated on the back door of my toilet or in the Louvre, my attitude towards it changes. Somehow, when it is a museum piece, I approach it differently. So too, we approach God differently. When we place him in the right place, when we place him as Lord over all, when we place him in that place of majesty, in his sanctuary, as the one who is holy, as the one who is in charge, as the one who is mighty over all creation, when we do that, something stirs deep within us. It is a repositioning. But we are also called to reframe. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in his mighty heavens, not outside. We have been invited into the dwelling place of the mighty Creator. We are not outsiders. We are not ones who are distant, but rather ones who belong in his presence. And somehow when we put those two things together, when we reposition ourselves, when we reframe our thinking that he is the Lord and we are to be with him, he has brought us close in that place, he has made us welcome, he has shared his very dwelling, this mighty enthroned Lord. Can you feel it? That praise start to bubble away? But it's not just that. We're asked to reflect. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Our praise comes out of a recognition of what God has done in our lives. Some weeks ago, Peter and I took a walk around Lake Monga. And, as you do when you start running out of conversation, you start making up questions. And one of the questions that I asked Peter was, what's been a highlight of this year? And what was amazing is I asked, what's a highlight? And suddenly for the next hour, we talked about all the highlights. They just kept pouring out. And as we looked over our year, selling our house, uprooting, moving, the journey that God had brought us, landing here in Inglewood with this beautiful family, taking on new roles, new jobs, our son entering into a new school, making new friends, having a teacher who just so dotes on him, his baptism. I finished study. Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah! We got land in Morley for a house. I got a parking spot at the movies when everybody else took 20 minutes and I zipped in there. Praise God. We could see the evidence of God just looking out for us. But it only came through reflection. It came through a looking back and going, my goodness, what a journey it's been. But also an equal reflection of like, look what God has done. And it started off there, but it went deeper. As we started reflecting, I started to say, you know what? It's not just that I finished study, but God did something in me. I wasn't as nervous. I wasn't as stressed. God has done a work of confidence this year that was unexpected. And so today, I invite you, as you think about what it means to finish this year well, to reposition, to reframe, and to reflect. Take a moment to prepare to praise him at the end. The second thing that I notice in this psalm is that when we praise, we go all out. Shell stole my thunder, but we'll go at it there again in case you had kids and you couldn't hear. It says this, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with the timbrel and dancing, praise him with strings and pipes, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. And I note the many and varied ways of praising that we are invited to use whatever is at our disposal to praise, to pick up the things that are lying around. And what you pick up and what I pick up might be completely different, but together we share in the experience of praise. This is not a quiet thing. This is not an individual thing. It is loud. It is expressive. It is somewhat chaotic. It is noisy. It is physical. It takes all of our energy. We go all out for praising God. Now, some of you may know about me that I do play some musical instruments. Some of you would know that I play piano, which is my secondary, but my primary instrument is actually saxophone. Don't ask me to play it. I haven't played it in a while. I'm not getting up here and tooting my horn, but it's my primary. And there's something that I've learned in playing music, regardless of whether I'm good at it or not. Louder is better. My neighbors don't think that, but let me tell you, louder is better. I've noticed that when I play quiet, I don't play confident. I notice that when I play quiet, I fumble more often. I notice particularly on a saxophone, when I play quiet, I might not get the full note out. I may be more prone to squeaking, and the tone and depth this instrument can give does not come out. You and I were born to go all out for praise. But the truth is that sometimes we are so reserved. We are so conscious of like, what's that person next to me thinking? Or is this the time or the place? But the psalmist couldn't care less. We are in the holy place before the King of Kings and His Majesty, and there is everything before us to praise. So let's go for it, team. Yeah. And when we do that, wow, the power that that unlocks. I've had three amazing experiences of praise. And I want to just tell you very quickly about how different they were. And I tell you, none of them were in a concert hall. None of them were with perfect instruments. In fact, all of them were in the most basic places, but with the most heartfelt praises. The first powerful moment was in the Philippines. We were with a group of young people and teens who were being saved from the prison system with their pastor. We were in this kind of like dugout, unroofed, open, almost assembly-like area. There was a broken piano and a guitar that I don't think had been restrung in years. Everything was off key. And the conductor got up in front of the group and he said the first line of the song and then went, "Sing." I was like, uh-uh. I don't do this. I need my warm-up. I need like the full intro. Like I've got to get my feels on. Sing. And they sung. Oh boy, did they sing. We didn't know what key we were singing in, but we sung. The piano did the best job it could, all honky-tonky, but it played. And I don't know what was going on with the guitar, but can I tell you it was fabulous? No one cared about whether it was good or not. We were praising. The second experience I had was on a deathbed. Not my deathbed, obviously, but a beautiful woman in our church. Her name was Marge. And she tragically had asbestos poisoning in her lungs. Went down with a group of older ladies and we sat beside her bedside in her final week. And all she wanted to do, coughing and spluttering, was sing. What a moment. As in the room, we just sat there with her and we sung our hearts out about how good it is to be with God. I felt it. There wasn't an instrument. There was just us and there was tears, but oh, that was something else. And the third one is pastor's conference. There's something about when I stand side by side with people whose stories I know and I hear them praise with all they've got, with all their gusto. And I think, I know what you've been through. We've shared in those stories, but there's something about when we come together. We praise with our all. The last thing that I note about this psalm is that it all ends with praise. This is good news. This is such good news. It is not just the Psalms whose culmination ends with a song of thanksgiving. Considering all that has gone before, the same psalms that say, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? The same psalms that say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. The same psalms that say, where are you? What the heck is going on? Crush their babies' heads on rocks. The same psalms. Where do they end? Where is their final resting place? It's with praise. It's with praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That word there, breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's actually a really special word. The word here in Hebrew is the word Neshama. And if you ask any Jewish person, they will tell you that that word means soul. Now, Hebrew is a very concrete language. It means that every word has a picture. And souls are just a little too airy-fairy. There's nothing concrete about that, but breath, life, the idea that who we are is somehow tied to our breath. Our breathing in, our breathing out, and when it's gone, we're somehow gone. That's why it's considered soul. There are many words within the Hebrew language that can be used for soul or for life or for breath. There's ruah, there's nefesh, and there's neshama. Neshamas may be used 24 times in the whole Hebrew Bible. And it's used here. And the reason why it's significant is because unlike nefesh, which is the life shared by all things, the breath of all things, including animals, neshama is for humans only. It is the breath of life. And it is believed that this particular breath is one that connects us to our Creator. That every time we breathe, that every moment our soul has life, we are connected. And so in a microcosm way, the psalmist encourages us to end with praise. That as we breathe in the breath of life that connects us to our Creator, as we breathe out, we send a note of thanks in a microcosm way. Every single moment, every single day, every single breath is to lead towards praise. This is our end goal. But also on a macro scale, it all ends with praise. Whether it is the Psalms or whether it is in Revelation, it ends in celebration. And that's good news because I know some of your stories. I know what you're going through this year. I've heard what you have to traverse this week, this month. And if you're not in the place of praise, if you're in the dark space, the good news is your story's not done. You're in the middle. There is an end yet to come, and it ends in praise. And so you can have a hope for those end days. Timothy Keller had this to say. He said, "All prayer pursued far enough becomes praise." And this is the message that we get in Psalms, that all our prayers pursued long enough, pursued far enough, will end ultimately with praise. Now, I began this morning and said that endings are significant, that endings are powerful. Why does it matter to end in praise? How on earth, especially when you're not in a good place, can that be powerful? Well, you might remember that I also said that the ending of things, the way that we end, has the ability to change the meaning of all that has come before. Let me tell you a story. Horatio Spafford was an attorney and a very successful real estate investor. But during the Chicago fire of 1871, he lost his fortune. Around that same time, his 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. And so Horatio decided that it was best perhaps for the family to take a vacation, to just take a moment away from it all. He had some pressing business to attend to, so he sent his family, his wife and 4 daughters, ahead of him over the Atlantic Sea to England. But on the waters, the ship tragically collided and sunk. 200 people lost their lives that day, including Horatio's 4 daughters. When his wife arrived in England, she telegraphed Horatio with these words, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" And so Horatio jumped on the next boat and made his way across the Atlantic. And as he passed over the spot of the shipwreck, the captain called him so that he could make note of it. And something happened in that moment. Horatio received an unexpected insight from God. He took the moment to reposition, to reframe, and to reflect. And he penned in that moment the following song of thanksgiving. "When peace like a river attendeth my ways, When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Endings are powerful. The way we end can give new meaning or make meaningless all that has come before. And so we invite you today, as Horatio did, to reframe, to reposition, to reflect on what the Lord has done, to end on a high note and go all out in praise. To end with a song of thanksgiving. And to help you do that, we're going to sing one more song. This song is Same God. And in it we will sing how we worship the same God that Horatio did, the same God that Moses did, the same God that Mary did, the same God that Paul did as he sat there in chains and sung. We worship the God enthroned on high. And we invite you today to go all out. Thanks, Ben.